Of worship is so powerful, and as we were worshiping this morning, I just felt led to encourage you and to, and that doesn't mean it's all good, but we believe that God is good. But just to help some of you, God is addressing issues of the past when we worship, and at other times he's addressing issues of right now, who you are, what he's trying to do in you so he can do it through you. But then there's also those moments where he's addressing issues in your future. Things that require us to say yes. To take a step of faith and we don't really understand. But if you dwelt on the word that we received last week about trusting, about discovering how powerful the word of God is. It doesn't matter if he's dealing with the past, he's dealing with your present, or if he's setting you up to deal with your future. He's a God of yes and amen. And our worship is simply the expression of saying, I'm okay, Lord, if you put your finger in my past and you want to deal with that. I'm okay if you want to stir your finger and deal with stuff right now. And I'm definitely okay with you stirring up my future so that I can step into it with hope and joy. Amen.
Get into the Bible today. And we are on this topic of identity. If your identity can be taken from you, then you're building your identity on the wrong thing. So if you lose your job and your job is your identity and that's taken away from you, now you don't have your identity anymore, then you're building it on the wrong thing. So if it can be taken away, your identity can be taken away, then you're building on the wrong thing. And so what we have to learn is the truth of what Jesus tells us about where our identity is built on. And we live in a culture that is really searching for identity. I never make fun of our culture. I never do. I never make fun of people who are trying to really wrestle with identity. Because it's a heart issue of saying, who am I really? And what we find in Scripture is where Jesus gives us the truth about our identity. And when Jesus came into this earth, we looked at this before, just to kind of catch up. The Father said over Jesus these three things: you're my son, whom I love, with you I'm well pleased. So in a relationship with God, when I come into faith with God, God says this over my life: Mike, you're my son, it's my identity, whom I love, how he feels about me, and I'm well pleased with you. That we don't have to work for it. We don't have to strive for it. God's not up there going, I'm really angry with you. He's not. He loves you, and he says, you're my kid. And so that has moved us into this realm of prayer, because prayer is one of the greatest indicators of what we really believe about our identity. When I'm confident in prayer, it shows that I understand who I am in identity. So last time we were together, we talked about, in fact, if you'll turn there with me, we're in the book of John. So if you're new to the Bible, yay, good. It's about three quarters in. Me, it's on page 1676, right around in there. And I'll tell you, go right or left. I don't do that to mock or anything. I do that because we need to all know where we find things in the Word. And like what Tara's talking about, trust in the Word last week. So Jesus made this promise in John chapter 14. It's an amazing promise. And we're not going to camp there. That's where this is what we talked about. And then we're just going to continue to unfold this. In John chapter 14, Jesus says, I tell you the truth. And the word is amen. Amen. It's I tell you the truth. So Jesus is saying, here's the truth. He says, whoever believes in me, anyone who has faith in me, anyone who believes in me will do what I have been doing. Even greater things you'll do this because I'm going to the Father. And then he says in verse 13, and I will do whatever you ask in my name that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me anything in my name and I will do it. So Jesus is saying, wow, this is life transforming. This can change your whole world, that you can ask anything in Jesus' name and he will do it. Now, here's the litmus test. How many of you prayed in Jesus' name and nothing happened, seemingly? Okay, the rest of you need to go back and review your history in a more correct way. How do we reconcile where Jesus says, you will do what I've been doing, so heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the leper, cast out demons, love as I've loved. Jesus said, you'll do what I've been doing, and also you can ask anything in my name. So we have this conflict because we are not seeing what Jesus said, or we might not be seeing what Jesus said and how we're living. They're not coming together. So how do we reconcile this? How do we deal with this? This is our study. And it goes back to this one aspect of confidence in prayer. That when you understand who you are, you have confidence in prayer. And what John writes and what we're studying through Jesus' own words, how you and I can have confidence in prayer. So prayer is a wonderful indicator of our identity. Jesus had 100% accuracy when it came to answered prayer. So a leper comes to Jesus and says, will you heal me? And Jesus says, you know what? It's a rough day. Come back next week. Right? No. A blind man comes. I want to see. Jesus prays for him. He opens his eyes. Jesus comes to a dead man named Lazarus, dead for 4 days, and says, Lazarus, time to get up. And Lazarus bounds out of the cemetery alive. How is it that Jesus had 100% accuracy in prayer? And then he says, what I have been doing, and if you ask as I ask, you will have what I've had. How does that work? Well, what I love about Jesus is he shows us how. So he starts with his disciples and he says, whatever I've been at, what you can ask anything in my name and I will do it. But he continues the dialogue. It's recorded in John chapter 15. So you'll find in John chapter 14, 15, and 16, Jesus references this 4 times, and there's greater understanding each time. So it's not just, you can ask anything in my name, amen, and then he walks away. Jesus continues to unfold, how does this really work in the heart of a person? How is it that we can be like Jesus, seeing God do things through our lives in prayer? So go with me to John chapter 15, if you will, John chapter 15. And Jesus says this in verse number 7. I encourage you to read the whole chapter. It's brilliant. In John chapter 15, Jesus says this. We're going to pick up verse 7. He says, if, say that word with me, if it's a clause, it's something that we get to participate in. He says, if you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish. There we go back to John chapter 14. Ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Okay, so how many believe that Jesus was God, right? Okay, Jesus was God. But Luke chapter 5 says that Jesus would often withdraw to lonely places to pray. Now, why would God have to pray? Have you ever thought about that? If Jesus is in the Father and Jesus is God, why would he need to pray? He's God. Thank you very much. Yes, because he limited himself just like us without sin, but he limited himself just like us to stay connected to the heart of the Father. So that it wasn't that we go, man, Jesus, you're amazing. Look all that you've done. We'll never do this. Jesus demonstrated a life lived where we can live like he did. And so because Jesus prayed, why did he have to pray? He was a man. Now, Isaiah chapter 50 gives us some indication of why Jesus had to pray. So if you'll go with me, Isaiah is to the left. It's in the Old Testament. It's about, if you're in Psalms, go to the right. Isaiah 50. If you're in Jeremiah, go to the left. Isaiah 50 tells us why Jesus prayed. And I'm going somewhere with this, so hang with me for just a moment. In verse 4 of Isaiah 50, this is what is called a messianic prophecy. In essence, it's talking specifically about Jesus. And as Isaiah 50, verse 4, it says, the sovereign Lord has given me an instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. He wakens me morning by morning, wakens my ear to listen like one being taught. The sovereign Lord has opened my ears, and I have not been rebellious. I have not drawn back. Okay. So Jesus was in the Father. We are in Christ. So we are in relationship where he says, you're my son, you're my daughter. I love you, with you I'm well pleased. So positionally, we are right now in Christ, just like Jesus was in the Father. Why did Jesus pray? Because he limited himself like a human being, so every morning he would waken to hear the Father's instructions for the day. that he would listen to the Father. His prayer time was for him to get away to hear the voice of his Father so that he would know what to do in given situations in obedience to his Father. So he would be able to say this, I only do what my Father tells me to do. I only say what my Father tells me to say. How did that happen? When he was in prayer, he would listen to the voice of his Father and he would now then do what his Father said. If you remain in me. Now what Jesus is offering to us is the same relationship he had with his Father. We are now given that opportunity to be in relationship with the Father so that we can hear the Father's voice and that we can do what the Father's telling us to do. So prayer is more than just me saying a bunch of words to God. Prayer is us staying in a living, vital relationship with the Father. Deb and I have been married 35 years. Someone say yay. We have this certificate from the state of California that says we are legally married. And with this certificate, we get certain rights. We get certain privileges from being married, right? But our marriage is not based upon a legal document. Our marriage isn't based upon, the California says you are married. Our relationship is based upon intimate communion. Our relationship is based upon not just we have rights and privileges. The relationship is built on communicating and talking and sharing and listening and being there and being present. So we technically, we are positionally in Christ. We are his son. We are his daughter. He loves us. With him, we are well pleased. All these things, we are in Christ. But that is not what the issue is. The issue is this. Are we staying in a loving, vital relationship with the Father so that in that loving, vital relationship, we are present and staying in communication with him? So prayer, dear ones, is not just a meeting. Prayer is not just doing our devotions. Prayer is this place where Jesus says, if you remain. And this word remain means to abide, to stay in a certain place, to stay in a committed, to be present with someone. If you remain, it's this idea of a loving, vital, life-flowing relationship. Jesus said, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish. Now, it's interesting because Jesus said, if you remain in me, so that's what my time with the Lord is. We're staying connected. We're talking. And my words remain in you. And it's interesting that Jesus uses the word rhema here. Now, just real quick. Logos is all of the understanding of God's word. Rhema is a specific portion of the whole. Rhema is where you and I have something from the Bible or something from someone that says something to us that comes alive to us. Have you ever had this experience where you're reading the Bible and you've read it maybe 5-10 times and all of a sudden something comes alive to you? That is what rhema looks like. It's where it's all of a sudden, it's not just words, but it's rhema. It becomes alive. Jesus said, if you remain in this vital, loving connection, and my rhema, my words remain in you, you can ask whatever you wish. Now, it's interesting because John chapter 10 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word, which is rhema again. It's when God makes alive the word. Now, what are we talking about? We're talking about this issue of how is it that Jesus was able to do whatever the Father wanted? How was it that he could do miracles? How was it that he could calm storms? How was it that dead people rose? It's because he stayed in a vital, life-giving relationship with his Father, and he heard his Father's voice, and he did what his Father told him to do. And now Jesus says this, as I've been doing this, so can you. Prayer's gotten a bad rap. Prayer's become like, this is boring. Right? Come on, let's be honest. If you call a potluck, we're all there. You call a prayer meeting, Niners play at 2 today, right? Devotions has become something like, I've got to be devoted, I've got to be disciplined, I've got to be, you know, my relationship with my wife, it is not about, oh man, I got to spend time with her. I got to talk. Okay, Deb, let's talk. How's your day? Good, fine, great. Okay, we're done. We spent my time. It's supposed to be about relationship. It's supposed to be that this intimacy between the Father and us is so cool that when we see situations, we can literally hear the rhema of God in our ear and then obey and respond to it. There is so much potential in all of us who are followers of Christ. It would blow this valley and beyond out of the water. It would make this valley stand up and go, what in the world just happened here? I just listened to my father. He spoke a word. I'm just doing it. And as I'm doing this, he's performing, the dead are rising, the blind are seeing, the lame are walking, the deaf are hearing, the diseases are falling off. I'm sorry. Let me have an amazed moment. We've settled for Christianity that's just kind of, well, I'm a good person. I try to be nice. And that's okay. But that's not what Jesus came to have us become. Was just better mannered or a nicer person. He said, what I've been doing, you will do that also. I tell you the truth. So either Jesus is a great liar, which he can't be, or there's something in us that needs to awaken to the reality of there is more in you right now, dear ones, because Christ lives in you, than we're accessing. How do we access it? Prayer. If you remain in me, if you remain in that intimacy of relationship, I know it's 35 years for me is a big deal. It's 35 years. Do you know that I'm with Debbie when I'm not with her? I don't have to see her to be with her. Do you know that in my day, my thoughts can go, what am I Deb's doing? Or my thoughts can constantly be with Deb, even though I'm not physically present with her. You see, you don't have to be in church to be present with God. You can have thoughts of him. You can be in, I take moments throughout my day and I just skate. I go, Father, I'm your son and you love me. And sometimes I even move my mouth when I say it. I just do it like this. Because the relationship doesn't end from 10:30 to noon. The relationship is this place of, and we're constantly aware. That's prayer. And then we read his word. I'm telling you what, this is amazing. I want to give you all just kind of a friendly nudge, kick in the back of your pants. If you're not reading this, you're really missing it. Because the Bible says all the treasure of wisdom and knowledge is found in Christ. You want to know how to live wise today? It's found right here. And what you'll discover is God will take his word and you'll read something and it'll make you curious or it'll make you go, man, I don't know what that means. And you'll begin to go, or something becomes alive. What are you doing? You're remaining in the word. You remain. As you read this, Colossians says that we are to be, we need to let this word dwell in us richly. That there is so much in here that is amazing. All you have to do is go, wow, wow. And what does God do? He takes it and he makes it real. Why does he do that? Because faith comes by hearing. Where the Holy Spirit takes it, and then you're facing life situations, not with your own wisdom or understanding. You're facing life situations from the understanding of God's word. And now you're able to really discern what life is about because you are remaining in his word. And I have discovered that when I was working in construction, when I was building houses, and when I was digging ditches, and I was cleaning out sewer lines, ooh, that was a bad job. But it stunk. When I was doing that, Robbie, right, high five, it stunk. That I could be in Christ while I'm digging out sewer lines. And it was amazing how his word would come alive while I'm going, right? That his word became alive. Why? Because as the word of God dwells in us richly, he can bring it up. And it was amazing as I'm around construction workers. And you know what? No offense on construction workers, but my experience has been they don't use God's name in a really healthy way. Them and golfers. Golfers are the same way. But it was amazing. I had this one guy who I was working with who was an ex-Navy SEAL. He was a bad dude. And I was working with him, and he was a bad dude. And as I'm in working with this guy, his name was Jim, this scripture came to my mind. And I said, I didn't say it, Jim, the Bible says, thus saith the Lord. It wasn't that I'm in construction, I'm in work, and so you got to know your conditions, where you're at. We're having lunch, and I'm talking about it. And I said, hey, Jim, here's a thought. And I began to share the word without sharing, you know, the Bible verse, that stuff. And he said, how did you know that? How did you know that's what I needed to hear? Well, I got an X factor. And it began this relationship with Jim. I didn't say stop cussing. I didn't say stop. I shared with him the love of God like Jesus would share the love of God. What I've been doing, you shall do also. Deb and I were at us. We were in the swimming pool. We were wanting to relax. And people would just be, one guy followed me in the swimming pool. It was crazy. These people kept just, they're like, we were like magnets. And they were, and they just kept talking. One guy just, no matter where I went, he would just follow me. And you're trying to not be rude, but you want to be on vacation, right? And he's like, follow me and just talk, 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 talk. So he goes, are you a Christian? Yeah. He goes, how does this Christianity, okay, Father, ding, 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 you even work when you're on vacation. So I begin to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with this man. Another guy burnt in church, thinks it's all a bunch of hypocrites. He knows I'm a pastor. It was a little awkward for a while. But it came back to, it's not the building, it's loving people, sharing the gospel with them, sharing the gospel, sharing the love. Why? What Jesus did, we will do also. And it's not family just healing miracles. Those are wonderful, but it's loving people who maybe don't really agree with you. It's loving people that are an antithesis to you, people who don't have the same belief systems, people who don't believe, who are in the same place you are. It's not. It's as Jesus lived, we should live also. Why? Because we abide, we remain. So prayer should not be this like, man, good luck, I hope it works. If that's where you are, okay, but let's start building the relationship, because prayer is supposed to be a place of confidence, not, we'll see. Are you guys okay? Okay, I haven't slept in a lot of hours, so is this somewhat making sense?
Yes.
The staff and management of Valley Christian Center and Hope Chapel do not at all endorse everything that's being said today. No, I'm joking. So go back with me to John 15. Anything you ask. We're gonna continue this next week, Lord willing. The following week. Oh, by the way, pray for us next week. Pastor Jeff was going to be sharing. Hope Chapel's going to be doing the worship. Deb and I, we're going to be doing our first training called Zealots next weekend, Friday night, Saturday, Sunday. I've been going through training, and we are having our first Zealots training this next Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So pray for that. It's going to be a great weekend next weekend with Pastor Jeff and with Hope's worship team. But we're going to be investing into leaders next week, and we're going to be continuing to do these. So it's going to be really, really, really a lot of fun. So pray for us to be grace on that. So the next time we get together, we're going to continue this, because Jesus in John chapter 15, he talks about relationship. But in John chapter 15, he says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it shall be given to you. Now, let me finish with this. And it'll be given you. This idea it'll be given you means this. It will come to pass. It'll emerge. It's transitioning from one point to another, from one realm to another realm. It signifies a change of condition. So hear what Jesus is saying. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, this intimate relationship, ask whatever you wish and it'll come to pass. It means transitioning from one place to another place. It means coming from here to there. So could it be, dear ones, that when we pray about something in confidence and faith and we don't see the answer immediately, it doesn't mean God hasn't answered. It means it's just in transition. So Abraham got a promise in Genesis chapter 12, and he stayed in faith even though it was 25 years till Isaac was born. The transition took 25 years for it to happen. What was Abraham's responsibility? He didn't waver through unbelief. So when Jesus said it came to pass, it doesn't necessarily mean immediately. It means something's transitioning into another condition. What is our role? Stay in relationship, stay in faith. Has Jesus ever had an unanswered or unfulfilled prayer? Yes. In John 17, Jesus prayed this, Father, let them be one as we are one. What is the Father doing? He's saying yes to that prayer, and it's taken 2,000 years for him to bring the church into this transition of us really loving each other. Now, 1 Corinthians 12 says there are gifts of faith, gifts of miracles, gifts of healings. And what that looks like is I can lay hands on Dean, and a gift of faith hits me, or a gift of miracles. He's got a broken leg. He's got this. I say in the name of Jesus, and his leg gets well. What is that? That is a gift of the Spirit where God does something immediately. That's a gift of faith, a gift of healing, a gift of miracles. And I love when that happens. I've seen legs extend. I've seen ears open. I've seen all these wonderful things. It is awesome, but it doesn't mean that if it doesn't happen immediately that God is not doing what we prayed for. So where are you in a transition of prayer right now? Where are you where you're staying in this place? I'm remaining in you and his words remains in me. Ask whatever you wish. So I'm praying in confidence. I'm praying in faith. And God says yes to that prayer. Now let me transition into that. I'm not endorsing this movie, but how many's ever seen the movie Bruce Almighty? Okay, not endorsing it. One time I endorsed Lord of the Rings and I got yelled at tremendously. So I don't endorse movies ever again, even Disney. Okay. So Bruce Almighty, he is in the movie. He has given God's powers, right? This is just a movie. And he's got this computer with every prayer in the world presented. And he does this. Yes, 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 yes. He just started yesing. And his hands are going so fast. He's just saying yes to every prayer. And right afterwards, the world's in chaos. 6,000 people won the lottery, right? The world blows up because he said yes to every prayer. Understand, if God said yes to every one of our prayers, the world would blow up, right? But Jesus said, ask whatever you wish. So what did we do here? Jesus is transitioning us and transitioning the answer from here to here. And if that takes a week, a month, a day, a year, 5 years, 10 years, it doesn't matter. Because we are staying in Christ, we are his words abiding in us, and however long it takes for him to transition that prayer into a yes and amen, we're okay. Because the answer prayer is not the issue. The answer prayer is staying in relationship with him. So what do? We stay in him, and Jesus said, here's what I promise. My Father will get a lot of glory when that prayer is answered. But what I want you guys to understand today is this, especially in a Pentecostal church, what I've been raised with, I've had to rethink that if the person doesn't get healed immediately, there's something wrong. And then we begin to put shame on people. Stop that. No more. No mas. Where Jesus promises this. Yes, there are moments when he heals immediately. Jesus did that. But there's also places where transition has to happen. And our role is to stay in him and God gets the glory. There are them prayers that God has answered 10, 15 years later that were perfect in their timing. That it was amazing, the timing of that answered prayer. That if it was done earlier, it would have mucked things up. But when it was answered, it was like, man, God, it's almost like you know what you're doing. He does, right? So what is prayer? Think about it in any kind of a relationship you have with someone that you care about. How you communicate. How you talk. How you want to be with them. If you say to the Father, God, I really don't want to be with you. I think you're boring. Tell him that. I guarantee you, lightning's not going to strike. Fire's not going to consume you. The earth's not going to open up and swallow you. I promise you that. Well, unless you were in Hawaii near the volcano. Talk to the Father if you have no desire to pray. Tell him. Because what he'll do is he'll begin to open your heart to recognize, hey man, this is what life is about. It's remaining. It's staying in this place. It's being present. It's knowing that his word is alive in your life. If the word is boring to you, tell him. Tell him. And then crack it open. I encourage you, do not read Exodus or Leviticus. If you're learning to read the Bible, it's not like a book where you chapter one, verse, you know. Start in Matthew, which is further down in the Bible. Start in John. Start something there. If you have a translation that has a bunch of these, thous, those, this, thus, verily, verily, and you don't understand it, take it easy. Unless you're Tara Pedersen. And if you love that, thou art blessed. I just don't talk that way. Verily, verily, how art thou today? I just don't talk that way. I need something that goes, oh, okay, I get that. Find a version where you can say, oh, I understand this. Because the goal is to remain. And then watch, you're going to start seeing life situations totally different. You're going to see with eyes of faith and not fear. You're going to face the, you know, and pray for me. I'm still not at this place. I cannot watch the news yet in faith. I'm praying for it. I'm saying, God, I want to be able to watch every news organization in faith and not lose faith. I'm not there yet. So what do I do with news? Because for me, it's I got to stay in faith. Maybe you're more spiritual than I. That's good. Let's give me our last verse. First John chapter 5, and we're done. Someone say with me, remain, remain. We can all do that. You might not have like 2 hour prayer time. Yours might be on your way to work. Start there. Remain. 1 John chapter 5. But how do I know my identity? Here's what John's, 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. 1 John is on the right. If you get to Revelation, go left. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. He says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. So how many of you just say, I believe in the name of the Son of God? I believe. Just say, yeah. Yeah, okay, yeah, okay. So this is written to us. Verse 14, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. So how do I know my identity in the Lord is solid? How do I know this? Is that what if I face anything and I'm not sure when I pray it's going to happen, then I struggle with identity. If I don't have confidence, whatever I'm facing in front of me, if I don't have confidence, then the Lord says, come back to remain, abide a little bit more with me. if I'm not sure about my future and I'm not sure about what's going to happen and I get nervous and my prayers are like, God, I don't know. I need to come back to, I go back to the word and I go back to remaining, because then the future is not a fear to me anymore. There's a confidence. And that's my take on our time of prayer, is that whatever we're facing and it takes confidence, we don't have confidence in it, go back to abiding, go back to remaining until you can face that situation and go, it's good. Nothing's changed, but it's good. I know it's going to happen. I'm confident because I got a word from my Father. I was raised in a family, good Christian family, I was, but we were raised with Murphy's Law. What will go wrong, what can go wrong, will go wrong. We were raised with a lot of fear in our family. But going back, I was talking to a family member. Going back, my mom's family, ooh, boy, they were really broken. Man, my mom's family were raised in church, but really broken. My grandma had some real fears, and then my mom had then to wrestle with fears, and then guess what we had to wrestle with? Fear, right? Right? We all come from family backgrounds. Even if you're raised in church, even if you're raised with something known in the gospel, we are raised with these things that we carry into our relationship with God. And I praise God that my mom and my dad, they began breaking that fear in our family. They began breaking it. Then Deb and I had to choose, are we going to break it even more? Then our kids are going to have to choose, are they going to break it anymore so that my grandkids will have less to deal with than my mom did and my grandma had to? How does that happen? It happens by remaining in relationship with God. It happens by when I'm facing a situation and fear instead of confidence is there. That's my indicator. Okay, Mike, abide. So what do you face that creates fear for you, if anything? What is it that would say, I'm not really confident that God's going to answer this prayer? What is it that you would have in your life that would say, I'm not sure that God is really going to do anything here? Abide. Just talk to him about it. The other thing I did also is I confessed it to somebody else. And I said, listen, I'm struggling with fear. Would you pray with me? And that's what we're going to get to the next time together. Because this answer prayer is not supposed to be just me and Jesus. It's supposed to be collective like a family. And Jesus tells us that. That it's not me and God, it's us and God. So is there something, a family relationship, a child, a grandchild, where you've been praying and you're just not sure if it's going to happen? How about finances? How about your future? How about, should you get married or should you not get married? How about, will I get Alzheimer's when I get older? Does that create fear and not confidence? Would you stand with me for a moment? I feel a really settling presence of the Lord. Stand with me for a moment. There is no fear in love. When we're abiding in Christ, we're abiding in love. How's your confidence? Are there areas of your life you go, man, I'm really confident, and other areas are going, I'm just not so sure. I'm weighing if I should say something to you or not. Fear is really an evil thing. It's awful. Now, I'm not talking about should you run in the freeway. No, that's wisdom. Fear is a taskmaster. Fear will control your life. And I need you to listen to me real clearly, real closely. What fear says is this: as long as I got it under control, I'm okay. But if something happens outside of my control, that's the dark boogeyman area. And I want you all to look me in the eye. Everyone look me in the eye. You're going to go through things that are outside of your control. That's the world. An unforeseen illness, an unexpected bill. You're going to go through things where you go, I didn't expect this. That's where your confidence in the Lord is crucial. When everything's okay and life's going pretty good and you got your bills paid and all that kind of stuff, okay, great. But there's this, I can testify this, there's this nagging what if questions in the back of your head. And though you can smile and go, whoo, I'll get it through another day, that nagging what if question, you know it's there. And it's not supposed to live there, because you are loved by the Father. He's you're his child and he's well pleased with you. And look me in the eye. I've lived there, so I can say this with authority. I've known too many believers that live with that nagging what if in the back of their head. And they're not experiencing this fullness that Jesus came to promised. So let's deal with it. Let's just deal with it. Let's just say, let's be done with it. And when it tries to come back the next day, you say, no, I know how to deal with you so that you don't live with me anymore. How do you deal with it? Perfect love casts out all fear. Okay, this is one of those moments where I really feel like the Lord is wanting to deal with something deep in our hearts. I'm not trying to delay, because there's something that has to be dealt with this morning. I feel it in my heart. Would you close your eyes and bow your heads with me for just a moment? Confession is identifying it. It doesn't supposed to live there. It's not supposed to be part of our lives. Confidence is our portion in Christ. How many this morning, you've got a nagging fear that just wants to abide there? And you haven't told anybody, or maybe you have, but there's just something that's nagging It might even, some of you might affect your dreams. Your dreams, or you have this, not quite night terrors, but you have these dreams that of this fulfillment, and you thank God when you wake up and it didn't really happen. For some of you, it's taking your joy, that as soon as something good happens, you have this, but what if, what if, what if? And you're just not living life, this fullness of life in freedom. Some of you this morning, it's kind of like this limp that you've been carrying, and it's from your family. That your family, it's passed to you, where that's just how we were raised. This is my normal. It's just how we see the world. But Jesus said, I've come to give you life and life to the fullest. So let's identify it and let's deal with it right now in prayer. How many of you say, Mike, whether I called it out or not, you say, Mike, I do have this nagging thing that I want to confess right now by simply raising my hand and say, yeah, I want it out. Yeah, I want it out. Thanks. Thank you. Thanks. Okay. Could you lift up, everyone across this congregation, could you lift up, please, just join me and do this. And lift, it's like a son to their dad. Like, just you're reaching toward your pops, right? Could you lift up your hands just for a moment? It's like I'm reaching toward pops, man. And that might even be someone's issue. Your dad was not a good person. And your dad hurt you. And now you, even talking about God the Father, you go, what? I don't think so. Because Father, really? Well, that's that fear that needs to be dealt with. So say this with me with our hands reached up to pops, our Father. Say, Father, I confess my fear to you. Help my unbelief. I release it to you now that I might be healed. Father, let your word come alive in my heart. Oh, wow. Let your word come alive in my heart. Hey, listen, whether you raised your hand for anything or not, I want everyone to confess this. Let your word come alive in my heart, that I might abide in you, Jesus. I accept your unconditional love for me, and I will live an abundant life because that's your promise to me. In Jesus' name, amen. You all just prayed. Something was dealt with, a fear. Amen.